are living in urgent times. If you're living in fear of the future, wondering how the Lord intervenes with His mercy and compassion, stay tuned for an hour of inspiring, uplifting radio for a time such as this. Now here is your host, Anne McClone, with Thy Will Be Done.
Well, good afternoon, my friends. It is March 23rd, 2026. It is a gloomy type of day here in Philadelphia, but at least it's not snowing. So please pardon me because I have some type of flu with my voice. So I pray that I can make it through the program to be with you today because I know beyond the shadow of a doubt that God has inspired me for this program. So let us begin in prayer in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. This is a prayer to Saint Joseph. O glorious Saint Joseph, who walked in faith and were just before God, take under your care the spiritual and temporal needs which we entrust to you. As you were chosen to guard and protect the Virgin Mary and her divine Son, Jesus Christ, so extend your protection from heaven to us in our trials. O good and faithful servant, whom the Master set over his household, keep us faithful in God's commandments and loyal in our love for him. Intercede for us in moments of our doubt, our anxiety, when we know not which course to choose. Inspire us by your example, lest through lack of perseverance we leave undone what we've begun, or through a lack of discipline we succumb to soft ways. Ask for us the very same grace in which you daily lived, that whatever we do may be for the love of Jesus Christ and Mary, and obtain for us the very same grace in which you died, that we may breathe forth our souls in their company. Amen. That was a prayer to Saint Joseph. And let us continue in the prayer of the Holy Spirit. Lord Jesus, we offer up all the prayer intentions of the people listening today and those that wanted to listen. We pray for healing, we ask for counsel, Lord Jesus, and we ask for your intervention in their lives. We pray for an end of wars around the world, for peace. We pray for the people who are suffering from the floods in Hawaii. And Father God, we pray for peace and unity in this country, that your Holy Spirit will reign above our hearts, our homes, our parishes, our churches, and our families. Lord Jesus, we offer all these prayers up to you in your holy name. Amen. Amen. And we thank you, Lord. So, as you know, every week I'm like, what do you want me to share today? It was pretty obvious today, even when I woke up, what the Lord wanted shared. So I know there has to be one listener that needs this today. And so I pray, if you're listening, that this program touches your heart in a very special way. So what is it that the Lord wants today? Lord, there must be more to my life. Lord, there must be more to my life. Someone woke up today saying this. Lord, there must be more to my life, or there must be more to life for me. So if you're listening, stay with me, or if you know of someone that needs this program, tell them to tune in right now. Now, these longings are heavenly signs, if you're saying that, that your whole person is functioning beautifully. You're asking God. You're asking God. If you sense you have more to offer, listen and follow where this may lead. Because you were made for more. Are you tossing and turning at night, scratching your head, getting in your car, blasting the music, maybe even vaping or taking drugs and alcohol? Are you asking, Lord, there must be more to my life? Are you open, really, really, and truly open to trying something new today? Now, while attending Mass this week, my husband and I stopped in the back of a local parish where they have books from a beautiful ministry that's been supplying books to the parishes in the Archdiocese of Philadelphia for several years. And I picked up this book. It caught my eye. And I thought, oh, I love this title. And usually when the Lord shows me a book, it's for this radio broadcast. But it's a new book called Holy Moments by Matthew Kelly. Now, many of you may have heard of Matthew Kelly, you know, becoming the best version of yourself. I knew him. I provided retreats for him years and years, probably over 10 years ago, before he was a famous author. He only had the one book, and I put together a retreat for him. But since then, he's known throughout the world. He's written many books, and he's a prolific writer and evangelist. But this book is a tiny booklet, and it may be in the back of your church, so look for it. So I borrowed some of the thoughts, so I want to give all credit to Matthew Kelly for inspiring me through the power of the Holy Spirit for this radio broadcast. Now, in the book, he says, some moments are holy, some moments are unholy, and our choices can guide a moment in either direction. You, our dear listener, you have so much more to offer. You sense it. You may have known this for a long time, and you're just tuning in. It's a truth that lingers, doesn't it? Waiting patiently for us to pay attention to it. It's a soul sense. And when your soul senses such a thing, it should never, ever be ignored, my friends. You may find yourself thinking or saying, something's missing in my life. There has to be more to my life than what I'm doing. I have so much more to offer, Lord. Well, these are sacred truths, but we often treat them as human malfunctions, don't we? We think something's wrong. We think we need to be fixed, or we need to fix someone else. We view these sacred truths as problems to be solved. And this is a tragedy. When you experience these yearnings in your heart or soul, something's very, very right. You're not malfunctioning, dear listener. Nothing could be further from the truth. Your heart, mind, body, and soul are working together to get your attention. And these longings are amazing signs that your whole person is functioning beautifully. You see, you have so much more to offer. But to contribute more, you have to experience life in new and exciting ways. And to accomplish these things far beyond your accomplishments so far, and to discover you, who you really are, and what you're here in this world to contribute, you need to start paying closer attention to the sacred truths bubbling up within your soul. You were made for more, and it's time to find out what that more is today. Are you ready? Now, in this book, Holy Moments by Matthew Kelly, I love, and I'm going to borrow some of his sayings and then fill in the rest with mine and some of the saints and the sacred writers. Number one, we need to learn to collaborate with God and create holy moments. Now, what matters most is what you do next, tonight, tomorrow, in the next 5 minutes. Now, answer this question if you're on the Schuylkill, on I-95, in Delaware, New York, or you're listening through the internet or Alexa or Google, is your life a jigsaw puzzle today without any crucial pieces fitting together? I want you to think about that. Does your life feel like a big jigsaw puzzle in 1,000 pieces and nothing fits together? And the more disconnected from God our lives become, the more meaningless life becomes. Create and live holy moments. This is a new concept. We all know our prayer moments are holy moments, but this is another type of concept. Holy moments solve the meaninglessness of our lives, my friends. So, you're asking, well, Anne, what is a holy moment? I know that when I pray the sacred scriptures or the rosary or I go before the Blessed Sacrament or I'm praying over someone, that's a holy moment. Indeed, it is. But we're going to go in a different direction today to help those of us who are saying, Lord, I know you made me for more, but what is it? A holy moment is a single moment in which you open yourself to God. It's not a series of days and weeks and months and retreats. It's a single moment in which you open yourself to God. You make yourself available to him. You say, Lord, I'm available. I'm ready. You set aside personal preferences and your own self-interest. And for one moment, you do what you prayerfully believe God is calling you to do. And by the way, this unleashes joy. Now, if you're listening and you're saying, I don't have joy, this unleashes joy when you set aside that personal preference and self-interest that you have for one moment, not hours, one moment. Now, we all need to learn to master one moment in our lives. We need to learn to master the moment of decision. Make choices that are easy to live with. Make choices you can long and turn back with peace. Life is choices, and we're constantly making them. If you're on the road, you're saying, do I turn right? Do I turn left? Do I stop for gas? Do I stop at my mom's and help her with dinner? What do I do? You're making choices constantly. Are you choosing wisely? Think about this. Are you choosing wisely? We're not born as great decision makers. We're not born. We don't come out of the womb as great decision makers. This has to be learned. Decision making has to be learned. Now, the wisdom of holy moments, which you remember, holy moments, will teach you how to become a great decision maker. Now, choices have consequences. We all know that. Our choices have consequences. Regrets reveal that we need to become better decision makers. Now, if you're regretting, oh, I regret taking this job, I regret putting the money in the stock market, or I regret getting on this medicine or seeing this person, well, that really means you need to become a better decision maker. If your life is full of regrets, then your life is full of decisions that you have not learned how to make. Now, choices have consequences, and regrets, that's one of them. Holy moments are choices with powerful and possible consequences. Now, I'm leading you down a road, and I ask that you stay with me. It's time to start filling our lives with holy moments. If you're listening to WTMR today, to this radio broadcast, it's time to start filling our lives with holy moments, particularly during Lent. Your choices, my friends, have great power. So what are you going to do with the rest of your life? I want you to answer that. If you can, just one word. What are you going to do with the rest of your life? Oh, I'm going to be a CEO. I'm going to be a better cook. I'm going to be a caretaker. I'm going to be a better student, a better daughter or son, a neighbor? Answer that. What are you going to do with the rest of your life? Now, don't let your past rob you of your future. Now, I know that we have so many listeners who of the radio network who are in recovery, and how often we allow our past to rob us of what God has for the future, because we're mired in guilt and shame. It only takes one holy moment to shift the momentum of your life in the right direction. One, not 20, not hours and hours. One holy moment to shift the momentum of your life in the right direction. Because the rest of your life, my friend, is waiting for you. And I know beyond the shadow of a doubt, in my prayer life right now, we have someone that is yearning and hungering for this word. The rest of your life is waiting for you, Joe, Mary, Frank, Jane, Louie, Stella. Yes, the rest of your life is waiting for you. Now, we all know, I believe, the story of the Good Samaritan, don't we? That legendary scripture where someone was on the road and they were injured and people passed by and didn't care. And then someone stopped and helped this person. Well, the Good Samaritan is the patron saint of holy moments, isn't he? Think about that. That Good Samaritan stopped with one moment of caring changed the life of that injured person. You see, that's why the Good Samaritan is the patron saint of holy moments. Is your heart inclined towards the needs of others? Or are you withdrawn? Are you pulled in like, I'm safer just being with myself, staying away from everybody? Is your heart inclined towards the needs of others? Or is it leaning away from others? The world needs you, my friend, to collaborate with God to create holy moments. And that's the goal of this program. At the end, we're all going to be creating holy moments. Every word we speak, every decision we make, every TV show we watch, all our social media, we're going to ask, is this a holy moment? Is this drawing me closer to God? I want you to really, really take this to heart. So if you turn on the news tonight or a show that you like, is this really getting you closer to God? Is this creating a holy moment in your life? In your making of dinner, maybe for your family, that's a holy moment. That's a holy moment to gather your friends, your family, to feed them, to share in a meal, or maybe to box up a meal and to give to a senior citizen down the street or someone who lives alone. So what exactly is a holy moment? Again, I want you to think and maybe write this down. Not if you're driving, but think about this. It's a single moment, not 30 moments. It's not an hour. It's one single moment in which you open yourself to God. You open yourself to God. You make yourself available to Him, and you set aside personal preferences and self-interest. Again, I'm going to say it again. It's a single moment. You're listening to this broadcast. It's one single moment. You may not listen to another word, but it's one single moment that may be touching your heart. So I'm asking the question, are you open to God? If you want to see miracles, make yourself available to God. I did a program a couple weeks ago on miracles. Actually, I've been asked to go out on a speaking engagement because of that radio broadcast. What a gift and what a blessing. But that one single program created many, many moments of interest. But if you want to see miracles, make yourself available to God. Amazing things happened, my friends. God collaborates with unlikely people. You're listening to one. God collaborates with unlikely people. All you have to do is make yourself available to Him. And guess what? The rest of your life begins the moment you make yourself available to God. Isn't that powerful? One moment at a time, not one day at a time. We're trying to find out what is possible in a single moment. Now, I know the 12 Steps program talks about one day at a time, and what a powerful model for sobriety and wholeness and authenticity and healing. That's a whole different model, one day at a time. We're talking about one moment at a time. We're trying to find out what is possible, what is actually possible in a single moment. Holy moments are active. They're not passive. It's not the past. It's right now, wherever you're at. Holy moments are active. They are not passive. And they don't just happen. We make them happen in collaboration with God. A holy moment is a grace-filled, prayer-directed action. Now, God is calling you today to new adventures and opportunities. And yes, you may be in a wheelchair. You may be in a nursing home. You may be in a hospital. You may be alone in a rocking chair. You may be in your car crying. Like, how can I make my life better with one moment? It will be better. It is better by you asking God to collaborate with you in creating a holy moment. You see, God's calling you to new adventures and opportunities, not to be stale, not to be stale. Sometimes these opportunities and adventures are disguised, aren't they? And listen to the voice of God. And you're saying, I don't know how to listen to the voice of God. If he puts in front of you an opportunity to cook a spaghetti dinner for a friend, that's a holy moment. That's a holy moment. Or someone is asking you to pray with them. That's a holy moment. You are the opposite of helpless. Now, my sense in preparing the program today is that we have so many listeners who feel helpless. You feel helpless. You're trying, you're hanging on to every word of these radio broadcasts. You're praying diligently. You're studying the sacred scriptures. But you feel helpless. Are you helpless today? Focus on the good we can do. And some moments are holy. Guess what? Some are unholy. Let the holy moments show you what is possible. Let the holy moments show you what is possible. I want you to use that term, holy moments, in dealing with your children's homework tonight, that maybe you can't stand that math. And like, I don't understand, and you get angry, you want to scream. Well, create a holy moment with your child or grandchild and say, I don't know how to do this. But let's say a little prayer that we can figure it out together. That's a holy moment. Or you're reaching for alcohol in the cabinet because your life is so hard for you right now. And you say, Lord, I offer this desire up for my neighbor who's dying from cancer. That's a holy moment. How many situations do you see each day in need of a holy moment? You to stop and think about that. How many situations do you see? When I thought about this, it's like every single solitary moment of my day, 24 hours a day. That's right, 24 hours a day. How many situations do you see each day in need of a holy moment? I want you to sit and think about this right now. Because if you can't think of it, then we have to go in another direction of coaching, spiritual coaching. Sit and think about how many situations do you see each day in need of a holy moment? Now, if you're in an office, you're looking at that person who drives you crazy. Or you're in a Bible study group even, and one person monopolizes the prayer group. Or perhaps you're in a hospital and a doctor was rude to your loved one and how they gave him or her a diagnosis, and I've seen that many times. How can you make that a holy moment? Now, someone I love to read some of his writings, and this came up today, and I just loved it, and I want to share it with you. It's Father Michael Schmitz, or Father Mike Schmitz. He said, quote, "Don't just give him your best, give him your worst." That's God. Don't just give him your best, give him your worst. And aren't we always looking to give him our best? But that's how we're made. You don't want to give a used, beat-up gift to someone you love, do you? But guess what? Father Mike says, don't just give the Lord your best. Give him your worst. So if you're an alcoholic, you're a gambler, gluttony, laziness, whatever, don't just give God your best today for that holy moment. Give him your worst. Make your worst moment a holy moment. That's powerful if you stop to think about it. It's really quite powerful. Stand up for someone being bullied or belittled and pray for people who may be experiencing a hard day today. I really don't know of anyone in my circle of friends or family that they breeze through a day and everything's perfect. There isn't a day that goes by that something's not wrong. And I'm just crying out to God, Lord, can these days get any easier? How about showering us with a gift of joy today? That would be a nice one. But now approaching this is every situation as an opportunity to experience a hard day by creating a holy moment. Teach or talk to someone about holy moments. Guess what? When you do, holy moments will make you insanely happy. Think about this. Think about the loved one or the person, your enemy. Think about teaching them about a holy moment. Like, oh, I know we disagree, Charlie, but let's talk about making this a holy moment. Instead of a moment of disagreement, can you imagine the face on this person? But what happens is there's a release in your heart for this person. There's a release. See, in the book that I'm going to write, and I'm still gathering all this in my head, No Room at the Inn, and it's about bullying that's happening in our schools with our children and our grandchildren and our neighborhoods. It's out of hand, and parents are covering it up. School officials are covering up. And I have a friend who is an author who has agreed to do some scientific work for the school systems under the current administration, that schools will be scored on this. But how do you create a holy moment with someone who's being bullied? And that's going to be one of my lead chapters. How in the world, when you want to punch someone in the face, now let's say it as it is, you want to punch them in the face, especially if you're a young teen or young adult, and you're thinking, oh, I can't create a holy moment out of this injustice. But I want you to think about, is it possible to create a holy moment in the middle of injustice? Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And some of the greatest writers and theologians and saints have talked about injustices and how we are to bless those who persecute us. Look at the Beatitudes. Look at the Beatitudes. We need to stand up and pray for people who may be experiencing a hard day today. And I know that we have many listeners in the cars or in homes or in the offices right now listening. I want you to think how you can make that horrible, hard moment a holy moment. Not a holy day, just one moment. And after the break, when I come back, we're going to be talking about what gives us hope and specifics, really strong specifics for you to work on until next week. But I want you to really think about right now that moment that's so hard for you and how to make it a special holy moment. So after the break, I will be back, and we have so much more to share.
You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We are blessed to have had this Catholic radio apostolate for almost 40 years now. Thanks be to God for your partnership. Without you, this radio voice would be silenced. We have a monthly Mass offered for you, our loyal family of listeners. It's our way of saying thank you for underpinning our apostolate with your many prayers and financial support. This is your radio ministry, to be a voice for those who have no voice, to evangelize and to catechize for a time such as this. We know the Lord will bless you abundantly. He can never be outdone in generosity. If this ministry has touched your heart, help us to touch other hearts by supporting us with your prayers and financial support. Call us at 610-527-2906 or visit our website at inhissign.com.
Welcome back, my friends. You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio Network. I'm your host, Anne McGloom, on Thy Will Be Done, heard every Monday from 4 p.m. to 5 p.m. on this amazing network. I'm so happy to be with you today. We're talking about creating holy moments and what does God have in store for you today. So in your quest to fill your life with holy moments, according to Matthew Kelly, he writes, you'll encounter skeptics, cynics, critics, people who hate you for no good reason. That's the bullying part that I was just sharing before the break. Others will gossip about you, and some will maliciously attack you in ways you never imagined. It's happened to me. It's happened to people I know and love. And I've witnessed it to happen to many others, by the way, over the years. And I'm telling you because I don't want you to be blindsided by it. Keep in mind that there's always been a battle between good and evil in this world. It's nothing new. It's best to put yourself on the right side of that battle. But even when things seem dark, even when you're discouraged, don't let discouragement possess you. Find a way to exercise your discouragement daily. Now, discouragement is a devil that needs to be driven from our lives with inspiration. I don't know about you, but I need a daily dose of inspiration. Books, movies, music, quotes, friends, family, history, prayer, meditation, and laughter, which I never get enough of, laughter. Find the inspiration you need and drink from those waters each day. Yes, you will get discouraged. Just don't stay discouraged. Rest if you need to rest. Take a break by all means and seek inspiration. Remember, you are not in this alone. And then press on. Now, if you're listening, decide here and now, today, March 26th, 2026. Decide here and now today that you'll do your little part to bring more holy moments to this world. I want you to say over and over again, I will not leave my part undone. And please persevere when people criticize you. Persevere when the demons of your past try to lure you back to their darkness. Persevere when your inner critic tries to make you feel like you're unworthy. We all need what we don't deserve, and God is glad to give it to us. And you may be able to do very little. You know, that's okay. Persist in doing the little you can do. There's great satisfaction in persistence. Now, it's hard to describe, but after doing something worthwhile for many years, persisting at it no matter what, you experience a delightful pleasure just at the knowing that you've persisted through good times and bad. We've all been through that. Nothing significant can be accomplished without perseverance. Nothing in this world can take the place of persistence. Talent certainly will not. Nothing is more common than unsuccessful men and women with talent. I laughed. Matthew Kelly said that. Nothing is more common than unsuccessful men and women with talent. Genius will not. Unrewarded genius is almost a proverb. Education will not. The world is full of educated derelicts. Persistence and determination alone are omnipotent, and the slogan "Press On" has solved and always will solve the problems of our human race. Calvin Coolidge said that. Did you know that? So press on, one holy moment at a time. So what are you going to do with the rest of your life if you're just tuning in? I asked this at the beginning of the program. Now, you've had more time to consider things now. Are you satisfied with your life? Answer that. Are you satisfied with the direction the world is moving in? Now, the mere fact that the questions are emerging is usually a solid indication that we're dissatisfied with both to some degree or another, right? It's time to listen to that dissatisfaction. Don't swat it like a fly swatter. Swat it aside like an annoying fly. Go deep into your dissatisfaction. It's a profound messenger that comes to reveal your future. Be bold, and mighty forces will come to your aid. Boldness is a beautiful thing. And when we see boldness alive in another person, isn't it attractive? There is power in boldness, and the power to explore new possibilities, and the power to get unstuck, which we've done so many programs over the years on being stuck in the mud. It's time to move beyond our timidity and boldly participate in each moment of life. Each moment. Now, boldness requires a single clear priority. Boldness is single-minded. You cannot boldly pursue many things, and that's just pure recklessness. And the two should never be confused. Too often we're bold when we should be timid, and timid when we should be bold. Holy moments require boldness. Are you ready for it? Say yes. I'm ready, Lord. I'm ready. The world needs a massive outpouring of goodness, doesn't it? We certainly know this day to day, hour by hour, and now moment to moment. It needs the healing tonic of goodness that holy moments release. But our culture is so resistant to goodness, isn't it? So in order to unleash this tidal wave of goodness, we need to heal the culture. We need to be bold. And when you're afraid, build confidence and momentum one small holy moment at a time. Now, you can do small things boldly, and boldness is compatible with patience. Momentum will build fast enough, and once your efforts to create holy moments gathers a little momentum, it's going to look bold and unstoppable in others. But you'll know that it was small and fragile when it really began. So be bold, and mighty forces will come to your aid. It's time to awaken the greatness of the human spirit within you, the Holy Spirit. And nothing will awaken the greatness God has placed within you like holy moments. You know why? Because you were made in the image and likeness of God. So act accordingly. Can you act accordingly? Holy moments have all types of returns. The danger we all fall into is we overthink it, we complicate our efforts, but over time we've grown in awareness and we become less judgmental. We should be. I want you to look back on your life. How many people sowed goodness into your heart? How many people filled your life with holy moments? I bet you many of them thought they had wasted their time on you. But here I am on this Monday in March 2026, and I would not be here today if it not for their generosity. You see, I'm part of that butterfly effect, though most of them are unaware of it. You're benefiting from their holy moments, even though you'll never meet or know them. Now, I know you have many critics in your life. I do. I never imagined you could have so many critics in an effort to do good. Wow. I've seen that for so many years in ministry. Do I get discouraged? By some grace, I've learned to find inspiration everywhere I go. Of course I get discouraged. Should I give in to the cynics? I'm asking you this too. The skeptics, the critics, the selfish people, the hopelessness and hatred they spread everywhere they go. We can buy into that through the news and social media. It's my understanding, and I hope you're listening, that teens today are using a social media platform to really ruin the reputation of others. And then it spreads like wildfire, and the reputation of that person is beyond repair. And then it's immediately erased. So no authorities or no one in authority can find it or trace it. But it's very common, my friends. Very common. And it's a social media platform that these teens and even younger, and probably people in their 20s are using, hurting people. So how do we take a social media platform and make it a holy moment? Well, I'm asking someone today, maybe someone listening, can create a holy moment or some type of app for In His Sign Catholic Radio Network, where we can build up the body of Christ. Every age, by the way, has tyrants. This is nothing new. And each of us has to decide to face them or to run away from them. Meaninglessness and hopelessness are two of the tyrants that torment the people of this age. You feel hopeless. You feel like your life isn't worthwhile. And this is the madness that grips so many people, and maybe why you're listening today. It may seem overwhelming, even invincible to you, but I will not lose hope, for I know they are not. You see, my reasons are really simple. Each holy moment offers someone a path out of that madness and demonstrates the beauty of what is possible. The beauty of what is possible. You see, holy moments have the power to bring the tyrannies of meaninglessness and hopelessness to an end. Holy moments hold the power to set people free from meaninglessness and hopelessness, to live rich and purpose-filled lives. Critics are quickly forgotten, and I simply refuse to underestimate God. I refuse to underestimate God, my friends, or the holy moments that are possible in all of our lives, in your life. So what am I going to do? I'm going to press on. I'm going to keep sowing those holy moments in my own imperfect way, and trust me, I am imperfect. Everywhere I go, every person I meet, every chance I get, reminding myself daily that the Messiah is indeed among us. Now, I know you're going to hear it because I hear it. The critics will say, but so much of that seed doesn't fall on rich ground. Well, they're right, but they're missing the point, because you never know whose heart the next handful of seeds will fall into, and you never know what that person will go on to do with his or her life. So I'm going to keep sowing generously. How about you? Are you going to keep sowing with me? And so what are you going to do? I asked that in the beginning. What gives you hope today? What gives you hope today? And probably you can't answer this right now. We need right now to believe good things lay ahead or lie ahead. We need to believe that. You can't wake up tomorrow thinking, what? Oh, I have to go to work. Oh, I have to do the laundry. Oh, I have to go to the supermarket. We have to believe that good things lie ahead. You see, our society is filled with hopelessness in watching the news and following social media. And when we are hopeful, we believe the future can be better than the past. Hope empowers us. We all need hope today. And if you're tuning in, hope empowers us. And when we lose hope, guess what? This is when we stop believing. When we lose hope, we stop believing. The future can be better. We don't believe the future can be better when we lose hope. You see, holy moments remind us the future can be better than the past. Now, how did the world become such a mess? You're asking us. I asked that too. How did this world become such a mess? Guess what the answer is? It's simple. Unholy moments. But we can do something about it. We need to all collaborate with God and humanity. We need virtue and prayer. It's the only way to make genuine progress. Prayer is so important, my friends. If you had to summarize how to live as a Christian in 10 words or less, how would you do it? How would you do it? I want you to summarize how to live as a Christian in 10 words or less right now. And when you go home, I want you to write it on the refrigerator on a piece of paper. Matthew Kelly wrote, "You were made in the image of God." Now, how great is that? You were made in the image of God. So what are you going to do with the rest of your life? If you're made in the image of God, what are you going to do with the rest of your life? Yes, answer that right now. Many of you have probably heard of Pastor Rick Warren, Saddleback Church in California, who retired, who's written so many books. I don't know why he keeps coming up on my algorithm of my phone. It's a riot. Right before I came on the air, a clip came up of him on TBN. And I said, Lord, you always confirm what the topic is for the radio broadcast, because I'm always jumping off the top of a roof with a parachute and the parachute doesn't open. And I'm like, I hope I land. But I love what Rick Warren said, and I wanted to share this with you. Very powerful witness. The deeper your pain, the fewer words you need to say. His son committed suicide, who was mentally ill all of his life, and brought people to Christ. He brought people to Christ, and he couldn't take the pain, the horrible pain. And so Rick and his wife found him with the police, and he was telling the story, which is another program. But he said these words, and I wrote them down because this is what I do. I write them down for future broadcasts. But I felt strongly that someone needed to hear this today. The deeper the pain, the fewer words you need to say. Your greatest ministry will come out of your pain. Your greatest ministry will come out of your pain. Now, many of us over the decades have heard of Jean Vanier and the Wounded Healer. Well, that's basically what this is, the Wounded Healer. But he said it differently. Your greatest ministry will come out of your pain. Your greatest holy moment, my friend, will come out of that pain that you're feeling today. And the deeper your pain, whatever it is right now, the loss of someone, how horrible that is, the fewer words you say. We always think we need to speak, and we don't. Our silence, our eyes, our hug, and the person who is suffering. The deeper the pain, the fewer words we need to say, because our greatest ministry in life will come out of our deepest pain. And he talked about miracles, and that's my favorite topic. And he said, and I love this, I don't know why my son wasn't healed, he said. I don't know. He believed in God. He was mentally ill. Why didn't God heal him? He went to all the healing services around the world and all the people with gifts, and he studied the scriptures. He loved the Lord. He couldn't take the mental pain. But why wasn't he healed? He said, why wasn't he a miracle? And he said, sometimes our miracle is we learn to manage the challenge. We learn to manage the challenge or the pain. And I'm thinking of people who have not been healed, who are saying, I didn't get a miracle. And perhaps your miracle is learning to how to manage the pain or manage the challenge, to create holy moments out of this pain. I thought that was so powerful, so powerful, because I love to listen to testimony of those who have walked the walk before me. I love the testimonies of Kathleen McCarthy and just the years and years of horrible illnesses that she's endured with herself, her family, her grandchildren, all the people that she has prayed with, including my own family and me. We've all grown because of those stories. Don't we love to hear those stories because they give us hope? And that's what Jesus wants to give us today. He wants to give us hope. We need to believe good things lie ahead in our lives. And by creating holy moments, learning to practice this. Practice holy moments, my friend. Every single moment. When you're in adoration or reading the scriptures, that's a holy moment. When you're praying over someone, that's a holy moment. Or maybe you're getting surgery, and that's not such a holy moment. But you can make it a holy moment. I don't know about you, but a family member of mine can't take a MRI, just gets so worked up over an MRI. And I said to my husband last night, I get MRIs almost every 6 months, and I learned to make them, and I didn't use this term, holy moments. It's my prayer time in that tunnel when that machine's rattling around me and the IV's going through. I've learned to make that a holy moment, and I didn't term it a holy moment. I just called it my prayer time. And that's what I'm hoping there is some takeaway from this program today for those of you who are listening, to create holy moments out of your suffering. And as we've been doing in the past month or so, I've been sharing the miracle prayer of Father Peter Rookie, the miracle prayer, because those of you who have heard it love it. And so I'm believing with you that we'll have so many holy moments sent into the broadcast that we're overwhelmed with it. So let us pray for a holy moment in this miracle prayer with Father Rookie. I'm praying for healing for all of you who are listening, physical, emotional, and spiritual, and for all those who wanted to listen and could not. In the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Lord Jesus, I come before you just as I am. I'm sorry for my sins. I repent of my sins. Please forgive me. In your name, I forgive all others for what they have done against me. Let's say it again. Say it with me. Lord Jesus, I come before you just as I am. I'm sorry for my sins. I repent of my sins. Please forgive me. In your name, I forgive all others for what they've done against me. Amen. So what are you going to do with the rest of your life, my friend? What are you going to do? God has a plan for you. And if you're listening today, it is not by accident. It is not by accident. Because he wants to transform you and mold you more perfectly into his likeness and image. He wants to shine your light into the darkness, his light, in those areas that you hide from everyone. Because he knows all and he sees all. He is the divine physician. He wants to ask you to allow him to be Lord of your life, over every area of your life. Do not trust in anything but the Holy Spirit. I alone am God. I alone am the way, the truth, and the life. There is no other. I've come to set you free. I've indeed come to mold you and transform you to be someone else. But I love you just the way you are. Will you give me permission to be Lord over your life today? Will you begin day by day, moment to moment, to surrender all the things that fill your heart with resentment or bitterness, unforgiveness, and hatred? You see, the Lord will make all things new. So trust in him. Trust him to love you into wholeness in the midst of your brokenness, dear friend. And when you call to him, he will come to you, and he will speak loudly in the silence of your heart in creating those holy moments which he is calling you to today. Remember, there'll be many storms, and many storms will rage, and many, just like the apostles who were in the storm, they thought they were abandoned. They could not believe that they could sleep, and that the Lord would take care of them. What little faith they had. And they did not realize that in the midst of every storm, the Lord is the Lord over the wind, over the elements. And so whatever the storms are in your life, he is with you. He is with you over these storms. And until next week, my friends, may the Lord bless you and keep you. And may Our Lady's mantle be wrapped around you. And remember to truly live the holy moments that God the Father has set before you tonight. God bless you.
Be alert. Stand firm. Trust in God's plan for your life. Be sure to tune in next week for a new dose of hope.